Rhett Bryan, the executive producer and game day host on the Titans Radio Network, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Rhett, how you doing?
Bill, I'm doing great. How are you?
We are doing well, but we're getting one of your cats from down there in Tennessee, and we want to get the skinny on this guy. So give me your thoughts on Matt LaFleur coming north.
Well, let me say this. You know, the Titans were in the same boat a little less than a year ago, a little over 50 weeks ago in January, late January of 2018. They were looking for their own next head coach. They interviewed Steve Wilks. He was a one-and-done deal in Arizona, Mike Vrabel, and then they also interviewed Matt LaFleur. They interviewed him for the head coaching job for the Tennessee Titans. Well, he blew them away. He had an incredible presentation, and for the Titans part of it, it was about quarterback development, and Marcus Mariota was going into his fourth year. He talked about being in Mike Shanahan's system in his coaching career and the development of Kirk Cousins when he was in Washington, Matt Ryan in Atlanta, and certainly with Jared Goff in his year with L.A. with Sean McVay. But he said that one of the guys that he watched the most on film in evaluating quarterback talent and looking how people, quarterbacks make their throws and things that he watches for is Aaron Rodgers. So when you connect the dots, it kind of makes sense that, you know, he looks at him as the elite neurosurgeon of quarterbacks in this thing. And, that they had a chance to talk to him. I'm sure that he blew them away in the interview process and talked about what he can do going forward. Now, Marcus Mariota to Aaron Rodgers, that's two different animals, as we both know. But it's interesting, to say the least. And the interview he did with the Titans was strictly about becoming the head coach of the Titans. They ended up hiring Mike Vrabel, and they said, Mike, you need to look at this guy named Matt LaFleur. They didn't know each other. And Matt LaFleur became the offensive coordinator. Now, for the Titans, those numbers offensively weren't great. But when you look at what he did with Marcus Mariota, Marcus had a career-high 68.9% completion rate percentage, highest in his career. His passer rating was near a career high. Now, he didn't have a lot of touchdowns throwing, but I can tell you what he did with what he had to work with after injuries decimated the Titans in week one. Was pretty impressive. We went down to Miami to play the Dolphins in week one. It was the longest game in NFL history, 7 hours, 8 minutes long, two lightning delays of over 2 hours apiece. In that game, the Titans lost their best offensive weapon in Delanie Walker, the tight end. Left tackle Taylor Lewan went down with an ankle injury. Quarterback Marcus Mariota hurt his elbow and had problems with the ulnar nerve throughout his whole season. They lost that game. Well, in week two, they had a game in Nashville against the Houston Texans, our division rival. Again, no left tackle Taylor Lewan, no Marcus Mariota, no Delanie Walker, who's at this point on IR with a broken leg. And right tackle Jack Conklin isn't back from an ACL injury he had in the playoffs the year before. And so what did Matt LaFleur do? Well, he camped out at the facility here in Nashville. He drew up some stuff from scratch. Derrick Henry runs wildcat in this thing. They had trick plays on special teams. They beat the Texans by 3 points. That's one example. You look at week 10 here in Nashville against the New England Patriots. That's the best example to see what he can do with the offense, because they beat the Patriots like a drum start to finish. It wasn't even close, not even as much as the score said at 34-10 final score. He's a smart guy. He has a commanding presence of what he wants in this thing. He had to figure out running backs in the deal as they came along. It went from Deion Lewis to Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry exploded at the end. But I can understand why they chose him to be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers.
Well, the biggest issue for us here is, I believe, and just from everything I've read from people that have played for him or know him extremely well, they believe he is a terrific schemer. He can scheme guys open, something that hasn't necessarily been the forte here in Green Bay for the last few years. But my biggest question is, he's a younger guy coming in to try to coach a 35-year-old Aaron Rodgers, a guy that's destined for the Hall of Fame. The one thing that I heard you say was he commanded respect. How so? Does he just have an aura about him that just brings that on?
Well, he's not he wasn't challenged, I'll say that. I mean, he ruled it pretty firmly. I've seen how he got after those guys in practice, and he can, you know, can get a little salty in trying to get across what he wants to get done. And that's going to be the interesting dynamic in this. You're right. I mean, LaFleur just turned 39 years old, Aaron Rodgers just turned 35. So this is like his older brother is his head coach in terms of age. And that's going to be the interesting dynamic in this. But I can tell you right now, Matt LaFleur, he's not going to take a whole lot of stuff off of anybody.
Being able to come in and command the Aaron Rodgers coachability factor, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to respect the guy. I think he wants to be coached. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. How, when you had all that, as you had mentioned, kind of that not controversy, but basically the character issues when it comes to the ability to overcome adversity, how does he handle that? Because that's going to be where the telltale sign is. Things are great when guys are undefeated and everybody in the locker room is fantastic. But when there is problems, when there is adversity, how has he handled that?
Well, I think he's handled it great because, just like the example I just told you about, in week one he had all of his weapons. By the end of that game against Miami, that was also a loss, three or four of his best players on offense were gone and did not play against the Texans. He had Delanie Walker, the tight end for the Titans, as a huge part of this offense, and he could not count on him for the rest of the season. He had a broken leg and placed on injured reserve. His backup, Jonnu Smith, a second-year man from Florida International, wasn't ready at that point. He brought him along throughout the year, but he went to the St. Thomas Sports Park facility where the Titans practice facility is, and he basically camped out there till that whole week and tried to figure, because he had to figure something else out in a way to beat the Texans in a valuable AFC South division game in week two. And between all three phases working it and him doing things unconventional, like I said, Derrick Henry running the Wildcat, I did not see that one coming, and neither did anybody else. And they beat the Texans by three, so I've seen that. Now, the Titans had stretches where they lost three games in a row. They won three and four games in a row. So he's seen the ups and downs and has been able to pull things out. I think it's interesting to see what he does in his first 15 scripted plays to get Marcus Mariota and the receivers going and get them downfield to get an early score. Having Aaron Rodgers to do that with the weapons that they've got, that'll be interesting to see as well.
Talking with Rhett Bryan, executive producer and game day host on the Titans Radio Network, talking about the Packers' new head coach, Matt LaFleur. Here's the other question I have for you. How sorry are you to see him go?
I am for a couple of reasons. First of all, we see where this trend is in the NFL and coaching hires. The young, next offensive wizard. Everybody's looking for the next Sean McVay. And I think this is also the case here with this. I thought because the Titans offense did not have a great year that he would still be here and be gone next season if things went well. Now, I'll also back up and say, had the Titans offense just gone bananas, I could have seen a one-and-done scenario very easily. I just think it's a little surprising because the Titans offense didn't have as great a year as it would like to have had. But again, there were so many things going against them in terms of trying to keep personnel healthy.
Now when I look at him coming in as a new head coach, I also wonder what he's going to put around him. There's a lot of rumors whether or not he's going to keep Mike Pettine on as the defensive coordinator. Then there were some rumors that Joe Philbin, who's the current, you know, interim head coach and was the offensive coordinator here, would he be calling his own plays, do you think? Or do you think he would maybe pass it off to a guy that's been there, done that, if indeed they decide to keep Joe?
I think he would call his own plays. And I think that's the whole reason why he came to Tennessee to begin with to try to interview to be the head coach almost a year ago. We know that Sean McVay was calling the shots in 2017 with the Rams and that, you know, he had a part and a hand in that, but it was Sean McVay's deal. And they went from worst scoring in the league to best at, 29 points a game in 2017. And I think that was the whole reason why it looks like a lateral move going from OC of the Rams to OC of the Titans, but that was so that he could call his own plays in this deal, and I think he will carry that forward with the Packers.
Rhett, great stuff, great insight. We certainly appreciate it. I know it's going to be an interesting season of Packers football for sure, and I'm sure you guys now are going to be kind of looking over the fence, but thank you for the insight, man.
Yeah, glad to do it, Bill. Thanks.
Absolutely, pal. Talk to you soon. Rhett Bryan, the executive producer and game day host of the Titans Radio Network, joining us for a couple of minutes. Now,